When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Okay. You have been, you know, it's Q-teen. You've been ordering a lot of like contactless delivery, and all of your orders, you haven't had any reason to think something's weird going on with your orders. Everything has been, you know, delivered fine. And you have no reason to try and like, you know, see what's going on. But you've started noticing that the same DoorDash person keeps doing your orders, and you know how sometimes like if there's like a problem with your order or something, the DoorDash person will text you and they'll be like, hey, just so you know, like they don't have this, can I order this instead? And you've been noticing it's been coming from the same number, and then it says like, hey, they don't have shrimp kebabs, is chicken an okay substitution? -BS. And you're like, that's weird. And then you, as you pick up your food one day, you look out your balcony and you see walking away from your house is none other than Ben Shapiro. And you now realize that Ben Shapiro has your phone number and you have Ben Shapiro's phone number. And this man has been to your home many times and has picked up food for you. What do you do?
This is Same Day Shipping, the show where we geek out about real love and fake relationships.
I'm Colin.
I'm Kelly.
I'm Ryan.
And I'm Patrick.
So this is based on a movie called Ben Shapiro's My DoorDash Guy.
That.
Is this a movie that you wrote during Q-teen?
Also, I'm sorry, wait. Q-teen? When did this happen?
Q-teen has been happening.
When
honey.
Did this happen?
Q-teen is much more preferable than teen, I think.
Oh, I don't like either
of
those.
Teen. It's weird because I feel like it is Q-teen, but it's also just really like thoughtful, consider it social distancing, but that's harder to say.
Right, right.
Also, and doesn't Q-teen bring us back to QAnon?
No,
and
we're
you know what?
Pretending
if you think
that
about
doesn't
it,
exist.
Everything comes down to QAnon.
It's true. Like I was saying, if you think about it.
I just want everybody to know that a conversation was had prior to us starting to record.
No one needs to worry, though, right?
No one needs to worry. We're fine.
I'm and worried.
If you're worried, wake up, sheeple.
Okay, look, this was, I mean, I don't think he's working DoorDash.
No.
But this was a sliver of a possibility when that dude lived in the Atwater Village. He may still at this point in time, right?
Yeah, I don't know if he's moved. He's made the decision to move, but I don't think he's left the environs.
I think you don't do anything, right? I think you feel, I mean, you tell all your friends.
Well, okay, so here's an interesting take from Ryan Mogi. I have a text conversation between the two of us when she alerted me to Ben Shapiro's presence in my neighborhood.
Yeah, I know what you would do.
Would you eliminate the bloodline?
So here... Okay, so can I read through this text thread? Is that okay?
Yes.
Oh my God, Ryan, are you scared about what he's going to read?
No, I'm Ryan not totally says, in character, but...
Ryan says, also, this is, you know, we're talking about something else. She goes, also, what are the chances that you'll be neighborly if you run into Ben Shapiro in your neighborhood? I say, oh, it takes some serious self-restraint to not at least flip him off. So that's my opening. And she says, like, if he asks you to watch his cart as he goes to grab one last thing he forgot, will you do it? And then she says, do it equals shit in the cart.
I was just going to say poo-poo. Great minds, great minds.
To which I respond, open all the boxes, shit in them too.
Man, you gotta, so every time you go shopping, you gotta have a dunker ready.
Yep.
Yeah.
And you gotta act fast. I mean, hopefully he's like going all the way back to the ice cream. If he's like just grabbing a bag of chips off the end cap or something, you're not even gonna have your belt buckle open.
Yeah, that's what you gotta do. So what you have to do is examine his cart.
Oh, so before you make your move.
Yeah.
Let's see. All right. He's already got wavy lays.
Right.
No, he's not.
And then you look, is there ice cream in there? Create a diversion, remove the ice cream. And then he's like, oh, I was supposed to grab ice cream for my wife's dry pussy. And then
nothing fixes a dry pussy like ice cream.
Wait. He's the, so I'm sorry. He is the anti wet ass pussy guy.
He's anti everything. He sucks at everything.
Yeah. Okay. And I don't know that he's
not familiar with his work, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
Oh, you're very lucky.
He's against the song for sure. And he also said earnestly, I think he really believed that if a person has a wet ass pussy, they should go to the doctor because that's not healthy. His wife told him that.
His wife is a doctor, and she said that if your pussy is wet, that's a medical condition.
Yeah.
And you know what?
Which is so wild and sad.
And then everyone was like making fun of him for it. And he doubled down and he was like, you know what? Sex isn't important in a marriage. Oh. And then everyone was like, oh, no.
Like the whole thing is just, I mean, he is a bad person.
He's also a terrible, terrible person.
Who spreads like all his words are vile and you should shit in his cart. But like
you know how you feel about Tucker Carlson? Colin?
Oh, yes. I have strong feelings about him.
He's young,
worse, just with a less reach.
Yeah. He's like a young Tucker Carlson. He's okay. Picture. I mean, this is what he was like leader of the Young Republicans Club at school. Like that guy.
Yeah. Okay.
But like aggressive. With this voice that sounds like this.
Oh, goodness.
And is just like very, very aggressive about like his vitriol and hatred.
Mm hmm. Mm hmm.
The end of the text thread between Ryan and I ended with me saying, in all caps, no rehabilitation, only shunning, bro.
So what would you do if you found out he was your DoorDash guy?
Well, so there's a major problem with the DoorDash app, because neither of you should have each other's actual phone numbers. It should be going through a coded system. So that leads me to believe that there's something about you that he had to figure out a workaround. So, because he's like, I have to communicate with this person.
Interesting.
So you think he's hacked
perhaps,
DoorDash?
Was what his thinking was. Yes,
he hacked DoorDash.
He hacked DoorDash because he's going to reach out one sensitive liberal at a time via DoorDash to effect change in the world.
Wait, what was the thing that he got caught like doing himself? Do you remember this? Remember, it was like someone looked and then it was something created by his email address.
Oh no.
Oh, he was like I don't know if this is the thing, but it's like when people get caught editing their own Wikipedia and shit like that.
It was something like that, but it was like a fake. Oh, that's what it was. It was a fake Antifa thing.
Right, but also wasn't that part of a fake too, that someone was doing? It's my understanding that that's not actually Ben Shapiro doing that.
Okay,
but
it was not
else,
Ben Shapiro.
Yeah, I think it was someone else doing it like as a joke.
I see. Never
it's
mind.
A complicated, it's a complicated world we're living in, guys.
It's true. To further complicate things, we've had problems with DoorDash for the last month since they
really?
since they bought Caviar, where our address no longer shows up as like available for any restaurants to deliver to.
What?
Yeah, that's a bummer. Yeah.
So what do you do?
Use Grubhub.
Yeah.
I was like, are you leaving the house? Don't do it, man. It's a trap.
No, we've been on the phone with DoorDash support multiple times. It's a goddamn nightmare. There's just like there's a stretch of a couple blocks in Atwater Village that are just like that don't read on the DoorDash like delivery app. They just can't do it.
That's so weird because you don't live in like a super rural area or like
no.
Yeah,
like
it's common.
You can find it on like you can Google Maps your building.
Yeah, it's real easy to do.
Mm-hmm. It's not hard to find.
Every time they're like, well, it looks like you're outside of the delivery area. And I'm like, I can assure you, I am not.
It's really easy to find a dress. Like, Ben Shapiro has found it like 7 times.
Okay, here's the thing. I think if somebody is in the service industry and they have abhorrent views, but they do their job okay, I think I'll let them keep serving me, right?
I mean, how like private are those abhorrent reviews?
Well, like, would
what
you...
if it's J.K. Rowling delivering your ice cream?
Oh, I'm getting pics.
Yeah.
I'm trapping her.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess. But do I? Here's the thing. I begrudge J.K. Rowling using her platform to spew hate, and I begrudge Ben Shapiro spewing hate through his platform, but I don't know that I begrudge either of them a job doing delivery
right.
in a non-contact right. situation. Like, that's kind of what I want all, like, shitty people to do. Get off Twitter and just deliver things contactless delivery. That's, like, exactly.
Yeah, so I never have to
yeah.
see you.
Like, no one has to talk to you. You can do you can make enough money to, like, live. But, yeah, I think that's, honestly, the world would be a better place if he was a DoorDash driver instead of a American
whatever
culture
he is.
Person.
Yeah.
I don't even know what you call him.
I don't
him
know what
he
is.
He's not like a TV person. I mean, I guess he's been on television. What does Wikipedia call him?
I mean, probably podcaster, right? Because I don't even know what a show is called, but it's always in the Ben Shapiro show right now is number 7 on the Apple Podcast Store.
He's gross. An American conservative political commentator, media host, and attorney.
Okay.
And DoorDash driver.
And DoorDash driver.
A DoorDash driver would be the least dangerous thing he could be.
It's true.
It's true. It's true. I mean, yeah.
What would you do, Kelly? I know it was your hot take.
I'd jump him.
Really?
I don't know if I'd jump. I mean, I think I would like at least verbally abuse him.
Oh my God, Kelly, you could home alone Sam because you have steps going up to your apartment.
Yes,
you
I
could,
know.
You could like totally like put marbles
ooh,
on the
yeah.
steps.
Yeah. Micro machines like, at the bottom.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So like maybe like, yeah, he falls on some marbles and then like falls into a really deep pit that I dig.
Mm-hmm.
I do like, yeah, I think I would like do that thing that they do in cartoons where they mm-hmm. dig a deep hole and then they put like leaves over it.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Wait, then he's trapped. Then you have to take care of him.
No, he ends his life there.
Oh,
I think he just look. Am I going to get arrested because of this? Maybe. I mean,
because of this
me
podcast.
Saying this. Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Okay, Kelly. Here's what? I got a hot take on your hot take.
Okay.
Okay, so you've trapped him in the little ditch. He's going to die okay. there. There are 3 more deliveries in his car.
Oh, wow.
Do you continue the deliveries? What do you or do you eat the food? What do you do?
Yeah, I mean, well, it's not my fault like, that he stopped at your house first. I still want my pokey.
Yeah. Here's the thing. I don't feel I think I would do the right thing and I would deliver those because I don't want people to miss out on their food.
That's very nice of you.
Because that's not what I'm about.
Okay, well, then
what
do you take do with part 3?
Okay.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So you've got him in the hole. He's struggling to breathe. You're pretty happy with that.
Yeah.
You notice that there's like ice cream and poke, stuff that needs to get delivered like
right.
ASAP. Mm-hmm. So you jump in the car. You start heading down the road. You get to the house and you leave it on the front step and you ring the doorbell and you start walking away so you can do the contactless thing. The person opens the door and they're like, "Where's Ben?"
I would be like, why do you ask?
Oh, well, because he's been he and I have been communicating via text through DoorDash, and you know, it's just like kind of a bright spot in my day to get to see him.
Like, what part about it is a bright spot in your day? Like,
well, I mean, I don't want to speak out of turn, but I think we're falling in love.
Do you share his political views?
Oh, well, we haven't really gotten to that part. We just mostly talk about delivery stuff.
What?
Oh my God. That's hot take part four.
Okay. I'm going to tell you two things. One, your willful ignorance of this man's political beliefs that you are falling in love with. You are part of the problem. Two, come with me. I just want to show you something really cool. And I'm going to make them go in the pit too.
So you drive them back to your house in Ben Shapiro's car.
Yeah.
I don't know if Kelly's like, getting away with this one. Of all her like murder plots that she's acted out for us on the show over the years, one is like, oh girl, you're getting caught. This is
for sure. Because by the end of the day, there will be 65 people in this pit because I'm gonna have to keep like get it like the new people, like they have to go in, like it's just gonna be this whole thing.
Well, and if you're taking up all of his obligations like on the delivery side, does that mean you also have to become like the EIC of the Daily Wire? Like you've got a whole new life now, Kelly.
Okay, that's what I do. No, yes. Oh, okay, so God. I go super secret though, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I hack. Or with like Ben Shapiro's like dying breaths, I make him sign in to his user.
Yeah, just
portal.
Use his thumbprint.
Yeah, and then I start like changing things, you know.
Like,
yep, mad with power already. Mm-hmm,
But I'm right. It's true. I'm not a villain. I'm just doing what it takes.
Someone's got to, Kelly. Someone's got to. No,
that's how all criminals believe.
It's true.
And then they get deeper and deeper into a criminal conspiracy, and it gets wackier and wackier until someone's in the wood chipper.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kelly, we're going to watch Kelly go from Mel Gibson's character in conspiracy theory to just straight up Mel Gibson. It's going to be so fast.
No.
That was the meanest thing you've ever said.
That was truly the meanest thing you've ever said it to me, and it was on tape. I cannot believe.
We've got too much stuff on tape here, I think.
Unfortunately, it's true. It's true, but that's okay. I stand by it. It's fine. It was a joke. Ha ha ha.
Ha ha ha.
We're talking Don't You Know Ships, because Fargo's coming back.
Yay, I love that show.
Me too.
Me too.
Sarah and I just started re-watching from the beginning, and it's just, the whole thing's just so fucking good. I love that it's like a entirety of the Coen Brothers, like, pastiche show. It's just I don't know. There's something about it being so like untethered from like, you know, what is a franchise or like what is a brand? And it's like it's just high quality filmmaking and like borrowing Coen Brothers aesthetics. I love it so much.
Yeah. And it's so entirely delightful. And sad.
Yes. I don't know if I would call it entirely delightful. It's like about the darkness of humanity.
I think my standards have kind of changed.
You find that you're delighted now.
I am delighted. Yeah, so that's what we're covering. So does anyone have any Don't You Know ships?
Oh, I got one.
What is it?
Well, so this ship comes from the land of Minnesota, and that's the only connection. I didn't go into any other Don't You Know aspects. Didn't think of a pun. But this movie was filmed and takes place in the state of Minnesota. And this is the 1995 teen coming-of-age movie, Angus.
Oh,
you guys remember this one?
Yes!
Oh, Angus. God. Okay, so for the youngins or the oldins or the in-betweens who haven't seen it,
not seen it. I've only seen the cover of it at a Blockbuster.
Oh, girl, you gotta watch it. It's so sweet. It will make you cry.
Really?
It's everything you want in a coming-of-age movie. So Angus, the titular character, he is this heavy-set, tall, awkward teen who just like doesn't know how to navigate high school or his body. And James Vanderbeek is his enemy, who is like the quarterback, and they play football together. But even though he's like on the offensive line and they should be friends, Vanderbeek is a fucking bully towards them constantly. They like kind of carry him where they set up that he's going to be the winter ball king. And so then the movie is about him like trying to overcome his fear because he's going to have to slow dance with the prettiest girl at the school and stuff like that. Beautiful fucking movie. Also, he's like in contention for a like science scholarship. So like he's struggling with his identity as like a nerd and a jock. And, you know, just he just wants to be himself, but he doesn't know how. Really beautiful movie.
And anyway, a movie that's totally let down by its like publicity and like advertising at the time, because I didn't see this movie when it came out because I was like, oh, it's just like laugh at the fat kid. Because that's like what they made it look like in trailers and shit. But it's so much better than that.
It's awesome. It's laugh with the fat kid.
Oh yeah.
I mean,
and cry with him.
Yeah,
as well.
I was gonna say we're overselling the comedy elements. Like he's deeply depressed. He's really not having a good time.
Yeah, but for those of you who have seen it, may remember the ship that I'm about to ship. It's Grandpa Ivan and his fiance April.
Yeah.
So Angus's grandpa is like this very gruff, what's his name? George C. Scott. Mm-hmm. Very gruff, matter of fact. Ah, you just got to rub some dirt on it. Don't let those kids push you around. Fuck them. That sort of guy. And he's married to this, or he's engaged to this like very spacey sort of new aged, floopy woman named April, who is 30 years younger than him. And Kathy Bates, his daughter and Angus's mom, like hates her, doesn't trust her. Why would this woman be why would she want to marry a man who's 30 years older than him? It's not like he even has any money. What's she up to? On their wedding day, Grandpa Ivan is talking to Angus and, you know, they're joking around about how he's a little nervous. But it's like, hey, if I can do it, if I can meet a woman I love, so can you, Angus. It's very sweet. Aww. And then he has a seat in his chair to just rest his eyes for a minute. And on his wedding day, he fucking dies. It's awful.
Yeah, they should have put that in the trailer.
Yeah. So Patrick would have known what kind of movie it really
Patrick
is.
Patrick would have been like, I'm there.
They missold this movie. I will not back down from this stance.
And it's so sad. But then after that, at Grandpa's funeral, April's there, and like everyone's super dismissive of her the whole movie, and she's just sort of played for laughs the whole time. But then once he passes, she's trying to like talk to Angus and just sort of like be, she doesn't know how to act, and she's super awkward, and they have this moment, and she's, like, on the verge of tears the whole time, and it's just, like, so well acted and written, and you could tell, like, she really fucking loved Ivan so, so much and wanted to spend the rest of her life with him.
Aww.
Rest of his life, I guess, but, and she'll never get that. And I like to think that she's still, a sort of surrogate member of the family, but who knows what happened to April.
That's a good one, Colin.
Yeah,
thanks, Patrick. Does anyone else have a don't you know ship?
So I got one, but it's like a straight shot right down the middle of the plate here, because it is from the Fargo TV show. From the first season, Molly Salverson and Colin Hanks's character Gus.
Yay! I was hoping that we would talk about them.
They're so fucking cute.
Yep.
And like I mean, first of all, they're both just like such good characters, like on their own. Just like as pillars of that show, where you know, Colin Hanks is. He's a cop and a single dad, but he's like kind of a crummy cop, and not like not like evil, but just like not good at it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so, like, he keeps having to fill in for, like, animal control, and, like, everyone sort of shits on him. And, like, he lets the main villain of the season get away in the first episode just by being bullied by him. at some point he confesses that, like, you know, all he wanted, he just wanted, like, a life of some sort of public service. He wanted to be a postman. So that he was just, like, you know, walking around in the community, serving the community, seeing the same people every day. And, you know, is just
very,
like,
sweet boy,
very sweet boy, super good with his daughter, who's also awesome. And then Molly is, like, she's like the quintessential good movie cop, you know, like, she's paying attention to everything. She's good at solving crime. Yeah. She's good at not jumping to conclusions. She's good at navigating the corruption, I guess, but, like, the apathy of the rest of the police force. And then, like, you know, he kind of, like, he doesn't really, like, aid her so much. He ends up shooting her, actually, at one point.
He just should not be a cop.
He should not be a cop.
He's a good boy who shouldn't be a cop.
And yep. He knows that, right?
Yeah.
He's, like, all dogs.
Good dogs boy. Shouldn't be cops.
Good boy shouldn't be a cop.
But you know, they can smell so good.
He does so say, he says at one point that, like, he's talking about, you know, they're looking for Billy Bob Thornton's character, Lauren Malvo. And he's like, you know, it's not right that there are people like that running around. Because, like, with a dog, you know when a dog is rabid, that's not a normal dog anymore. But with, like, a person, you just don't know that, like, you know, people should know, like, right from wrong and shouldn't be doing this stuff. And Molly says to him, it's got to be really hard living your life thinking that. And he's just like, you have no idea.
Aww.
I love them.
Yeah. I love them.
They're great.
Okay. Are you guys ready for mine?
Yeah.
I mean, we never are, but yeah.
It's not gross. It's just stupid.
I mean, okay. Just as long as it's not Ben Shapiro and that guy in the hole, like.
And you make them say "Don't you know" back and forth to each other.
Yeah, yeah.
Say it.
I am a puppet master. Welcome to my theater. No. Okay. So there's this video game called A Way Out. Have any of you guys played it?
Mm-mm.
No.
Nope.
Okay. So it is a couch co-op, or you can also do online co-op as well. Video game in which you play these, like, two guys that are trying to break out of prison, and so you have to, like, work together and do different tasks at the same time to eventually get out of prison and then like enact revenge on the guy who, like, set you up to get you in prison.
Okay.
However, this game is made, it's set in an American prison. This game is made by someone who is probably European and did not bother to do any kind of research on, like, what American prisons are like. Mm-hmm. So, like, all the prisoners are wearing belts.
Oh.
Like, it's like
they're really trusted.
Yes. And they're just wearing, like, chinos and t-shirts and belts. Also, like, the voice acting is, like, very funny because it's just, like, they're supposed to be these, like, American thugs, you know, but, like, they did not hire voice actors whose native tongue is English,
but
is rather, like, Eastern European, kind of.
I believe so the studio is Swedish.
Okay, that would explain it.
Oh, and the chinos, yeah. I bet in Swedish prisons.
That's a thing.
They probably do wear chinos.
I bet you they wear chinos and belts in Swedish prisons.
They probably even let them have, like, knitting needles to make sweaters.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's like, well, I mean, after your job training, you have to go into the commissary and kill Albert.
Well, there's like one scene where there's, like, a fight that occurs in the kitchen and there's just knives everywhere. Which is just like, so this game is a little bit messy. But you play as these two characters who, like, are getting to know each other while they are trying to run away from prison.
Okay.
And their names are Leo and Vincent. And I don't know if it's just that, like, they say each other's names a lot. So I started shipping them just because they're like, hey, Leo, where are you from? And then Leo's like, I'm from the wrong side of the tracks, man. It's very
it's pornographic is what it is. That is,
it's like $7 on PSN, so I do suggest playing it because it is very funny. But also, like, it also does this thing of like all the most exciting stuff like happens off page.
Yes,
oh, that's beautiful.
So they'll be like, you like get yourself all the way to this like you're about to break out, and then you realize that like you forgot you need like some kind of tool.
Mm-hmm.
So then instead of like having to go back through like all the stuff that you kind of fucked up, it just cuts to like the next day and you're like in the laundry room and you're like, wait, what? I guess that was okay. And there's also just like the ambient dialogue is just very funny. Like, it's just like, man, I am so angry about this guy totally trying to step on my vibes. And then a prison fight starts.
Don't step on my vibes, man.
But it's just very like, I got a wife at home. Man, is she going to be pissed at me?
Wait, she doesn't know you're in prison yet?
She's going to be mad.
Well, I just haven't gotten around to making the call yet.
But then every once in a while, there is an American voice actor. So it's very jarring when... And they're all minor characters. The two main characters are very Swedish or just not American accents. Because, like, there's also... there's this part where you guys break out and you just come across a camp that someone... Also, there's stuff like this that happens a lot where you just come across a camp that someone set up. There's no danger. You just need to catch fish and cook them.
Mm-hmm.
But all you have is, like, a little stick. And so you're supposed to spear the fish. I was doing this for like 25 minutes. I could not catch a fish. And like the whole time it was like, dang, these fish are so hard to catch. Like for 25 minutes. My cook kept being like, this game sucks.
You're like, but maybe Vincent's going to kiss him.
Yes. Because then there's a part where they're both cooking the fish together over the fire.
Oh, you got one. It just cuts away and you have one.
The game takes pity on you.
So anyway, I ship these two guys because here's the thing. I know how this game ends, and I'm not going to say anything because of spoilers. I guess I don't care. One of them is an undercover cop.
No.
Yeah.
That makes me ship it more, but...
I know. The one who's, like, more rational... So, like, one of the guys, he's, like, a spitfire. He's, like... I think it's... Vincent is the one that's the spitfire. One of them is like a spitfire and he wants to always do the wild stuff. Like his plans are wild.
I
and
love
then the
that.
Other guy is rational and his plans are always rational. So sometimes they'll both like be like, oh, like, okay, for example, there. So immediately upon escaping the prison, we come across this like farmhouse with this old couple that's listening to the radio about, and the radio is like, just breaking, two guys escape the prison. Cops are everywhere trying to catch them. And then this old couple, the old man gets out this gun and he's like, I'm going to kill them.
Like, what? Yeah, America. Why? So they do know about America.
So then you have to
decide. Sounds like they nailed it.
So then you have to decide if you want to go in there and try and like overpower this old couple to steal their clothes, or if you want to like let all their horses out. So like obviously the Spitfire guy, he wants to like overpower the couple, and the rational guy's like, we should just let the horses out and they'll chase after them.
Sorry, did you say and steal their clothes?
Yeah.
So you're taking over their lives. As like it's a not, happy old
listen,
couple.
Vincent, I'm the lady.
Chinos.
You got
yeah,
me.
Yeah, you can't. If you wear chinos and a belt and a t-shirt, everyone will know that you're from prison.
That's true. Might as well have a burlap sack with a dollar sign painted on the front of it.
A little domino mask.
So you change into their clothes and then you can like try. There's this other part where you can like try on their hats. And
Kelly, is this a dream you had? This is, I don't think this is a real game.
And then one of the guys is like, my wife always told me I am not a hat guy. Let's prove her wrong. And then you put on.
Oh my God. Yeah.
And then,
no,
and then
I
you
get
put
it.
On the hats and they don't look good. So then you leave them.
So the wife was right.
The wife was right. So anyway, oh, I ship them. I really recommend, if you are looking for a game that's like very stupid, has like pretty clunky gameplay, but you can play it with someone and you are okay spending $7, buy this game.
Wow.
What,
Kelly, have you ever watched Lilyhammer?
Oh, no, I never watched that.
I think you might like it because it sounds like you were just describing an episode of that show.
So that's my ship, Leo and Vincent.
Love it.
The two guys. Yeah.
Hey, what two guys?
Two guys.
Two normal American prisoners.
It is. Oh, hey. My God. It's Steve Martin and Dan Aykroyd. It's fucking Wild and Crazy Guys, the game.
Yeah, it's two wild and crazy prison guys.
I would watch them break out of prison
for
at least half an hour.
Yeah.
I don't know if we'd watch a whole movie, but I would start it.
Oh, that's great.
Yep. Good one.
Thank you.
Ryan, you got a don't you know ship?
I do, but it feels kind of, I feel bad because it's not quite the right part of the Midwest, but it is, I think, styling and vibes make it feel like it fits in the don't you know world. And it's from one of my favorite shows of all time that I am almost afraid to rewatch because I feel like it will send me into a memory fugue state. So maybe I'll save it for next weekend. And it's a show called Freaks and Geeks. And the couple are Lindsay and Sam's parents, Harold and Jean. Weird.
Yes.
They are ride or die. They know who they are. They're like, and part of it, I think, is because they're surrounded by teenagers who are trying on identity all the time. But they
so just
like
by comparison.
So by comparison, and honestly, some of the parents, like I think, like Bill's mom, like, but like these parents know who they are. They are okay with who they are, and they just, yeah, they're just so secure in themselves. They're kind of the rock of that show and of that family, and I feel like they got don't you know vibes, but
yeah,
I know it's a suburb of Michigan.
It's
not
Michigan, right?
Yeah, it's Michigan.
It's close. It's very close.
It counts.
Yeah. But yeah, I just love them, and I feel like I'm glad that Lindsay and Sam had such solid parents.
I feel like that's always a really nice thing to see in a show.
Mm-hmm.
Like solid parents that are like not something like not a source of like really upset drama.
Yeah, I feel like in teen shows, a lot of times they want to give parents equal drama.
Like the OC.
The OC or like Dawson's Creek had a whole thing where they had an open marriage for a season. Like,
messy.
Nobody's watching that show to watch the parents have an open marriage. Maybe, who is that for?
Maybe it's different with comedies though, right? Because like Red and Kitty Foreman aren't like an engine for drama in
that 70s
show.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe it's like, comedy, they're willing to let the parents just be.
But Harold and Jean, like I think this is a strength of the show. They don't shy away from their marital issues in the show, you know, like.
Oh, yeah.
Their daily lives are like focused on their children and focused on the hardware store and, you know, that's where a lot of their time is spent as characters. But there's like two episodes in particular where they like just head on talk about the fact that they're no longer having sex and need to fucking fix it. And then the Halloween episode is the other one where Jean's really upset and like Harold finally like steps up and is like a comforting, emotionally available husband for like once. I don't think they're without drama. It's just not like soap opera drama. It's very grounded shit.
Well, and it's never like they're acting like they're teenage kids, which I feel like is the crutch that a lot of teen shows about teens will do with the parents. Like the parents haven't even figured it out. And it's like, no, they're grown-ups. So they and like they're married. So just because they have a fight doesn't mean they're going to break up, and they have to figure out how to communicate, and they will. And yeah, I don't know.
Well, and also like, you know, just because they can have a successful marriage and like sex doesn't have to be a big part of that, like Ben Shapiro says.
Oh my God. No. I'm so happy you brought it back to Ben Shapiro.
How's he doing in the hole, Kelly?
He is not good.
All right.
I would say bad.
Colin, do we have any questions from Twitter?
We sure do. This one actually came to our email address. ShippleDipShow@gmail.com. And if you would like to have your questions answered on the show, you can at us on Twitter at ShippleDips or email the aforementioned email address. So this comes from Victoria. Hi, all. Love the show very much. Just wanted to share that I used to work with E.K. Johnson, author of Queen's Peril and other Padme books that Patrick is obsessed with. An archaeological site in Jordan. Oh, that's okay. Apparently she was a archaeologist. This is years ago now during my undergrad, but I read an early draft of her first novel, The Story of Owen. All of her novels are excellent YA and feature queer story lines and characters of colors. Would recommend. My favorite is Spindle. My question for the show is there a non-canon ship that seems obvious to you, that seems so obvious to you that you cannot help but pretend it is canon and common knowledge when you talk about those characters?
Tony Loki.
Mine is Dr. Crusher and Deanna Troi of Next Gen. Based literally on one episode where they work out together. Love y'all, Tori.
That's enough.
Oh, man. I mean, they're just speaking of Next Gen, you know, Picard and Number One, they have very steamy chemistry.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
You don't think so? They look at each other. There's one episode in particular I'm thinking of when they're in the fucking, what do you call it? They don't call it the danger room. In
the holodeck?
Holodeck, thank you. They're in the holodeck, and they're like, go to the 1930s, and they're like both really vibing on this girl, and Data's like talking about how there's a glitch in the holodeck, because there always is. Anytime they go into that fucking thing, it's always malfunctioning somehow.
Is this a Sherlock episode?
No, this is Next Gen. It's got...
No. One of the Sherlock episodes of Next Gen.
No, nothing like bad happens.
This episode is Star Trek.
And then John shows up.
No, but they're like just both so into this woman, and then it's all about how like she doesn't behave like a normal... A hologram. That was Picard.
Mm-hmm. And, oh. Turn Australian.
Yes. But him and Jonathan Franks are like giving each other mad sex eyes, and it's like they're this close to discovering their physical attraction for each other through a threesome with a holographic woman. Which is essentially just a twosome.
Yeah. Yeah, it is just a twosome.
So, and they cut away for like 10 minutes to do Data's story and shit.
So they're doing a threesome, right? Mm-hmm. And then they're so into it. And then they like finish the threesome and they're in each other's arms. And then they're like, turn off the simulation. And then the simulation's been off for like
Oh, that's great. Yeah.
Yeah, that's really wonderful. Good.
Geordi LaForge is just like, oh, no, the holodeck hasn't been working all day.
I have been shirking my duties.
He's got a lot to do. That fucking porno box is the least of his concerns.
I know.
In my
he has
opinion.
So much to do.
That's a good one, Kyle. Even though I don't see it.
Yeah, you immediately dismissed it.
You have to, Patrick, I don't know if you watch shows like with a like a horny shipping lens ever, but you should try it.
Wow.
What?
That was mean.
That was mean.
I'm coming after each and every one of you today, I guess. Know.
That's fair. Also, just quick before we move off of it, her name is E.K. Johnston. There's a T in there.
Oh, I'm sorry for the misread.
No problem.
I mean, my non-canon that I think is canon is the boys from Way Out, dog.
Yeah. I mean, I think we've talked about this, but in my mind, even though it literally never happened on the show, I think that Connor from Angel and Dawn from Buffy, like, have hung out.
Yeah.
They have not. I've watched every episode.
Yeah, they don't.
I don't think they ever crossed paths. But in my mind... They've at least, I mean, I don't know if they, you know, Kelly and I have talked about whether they dated or not, could date or not, but like in my mind, they know each other, even though there's no proof of that in the shows.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, another one from Buffy that we have talked about over and over and over again is the OTP of Anya and Giles.
Oh, true.
Dude.
And it's like there. The fact that it didn't actually happen is like bullshit.
Because it was just feels one like fake
it,
thing.
It feels like it was real.
Yeah.
I know.
It should be real.
It should be real.
I'm so mad right now.
I'm really mad right now.
We like almost didn't think of it because all of us are in the state of, oh, well, we can't use that one because it really happened. Because
it's real.
Because it's real.
I know.
And then I would say that my persistent one is that Obi-Wan Kenobi and Padme, like, were totally going to hook up.
Yeah.
Like, that was going to happen.
Yeah.
Did you find any further evidence while watching the Clone Wars?
I did not.
You got to put on your horny glasses.
Hey, guys.
Two relationships.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.